This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A local advocacy group is helping hundreds of people experiencing homelessness to find stable housing during this COVID-19 pandemic. Maslow's Army provided hotel rooms for 261 people and families when Ohio's stay-at-home order was announced. Founder Samuel Landis says the organization placed some individuals into permanent housing, and the organization continues to house 23 people, including children, in hotels. Samuel Landis joins us now on Zoom. Samuel, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having us on this afternoon.
It's our pleasure to have you. And we're also joined by Maslow's Army board member, Brian Gary, who's also on Zoom with us. Brian, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us, Michael.
Our pleasure, of course. And we also have two guests currently experiencing homelessness who have been helped by Maslow's Army. We have Eddie Willoughby on the line with us. Eddie, thank you for being with us.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well, and thank you so much for joining us today. Also is Shai Broadwater. Shai, thank you as well.
Thank you.
If you have questions or comments and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 513-419-7100, or email talk at wvxu.org. You can also find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets there. Samuel, let's start with you. This is a lot of people that you were able to help. It seems like it was quite an expensive, worthwhile endeavor. Your organization put out a statement that it was $180,000 spent on this effort, housing at 261 individuals and families throughout this pandemic. Talk about this process. When did you know you had to mobilize into action?
Well, actually, it was March 23rd when Governor DeWine announced the stay-at-home order, and we felt that how could people that are experiencing homelessness that are unsheltered stay at home? It was essential that these individuals that are our most vulnerable population were able to take showers and change their clothes and use proper hygiene. It not only is going to protect them and that vulnerable group, but the general public as well, as they're going to be out there on our streets and sneezing and coughing and opening and closing doors and talking to people. So we felt that we had to take a gigantic leap of faith using our building fund and a generous donation by a board member, Trey Hopkins of Cincinnati Bengals, number 66, the center. So we just jumped into action. We took a leap of faith and it kind of took off from there.
When you say you dipped into your building fund, was that something that you were working towards constructing something for your organization?
Absolutely. Our goal is to have a day center in the greater Cincinnati area for those experiencing homelessness. I think Brian will touch on that in a minute when you're talking about the library. But that's where the hangout spot is right now for those experiencing homelessness. But we wanted to create a shelter from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. where people can go in and play games and shoot pool, watch movies, and engage with peer support. Other people that have had chronic homeless issues or addictions that may be able to help provide a hand up to the person who's ready to accept that hand.
Samuel,
so that is something we're trying to build.
Samuel, can you let us know if there were any challenges here with, I guess, expressing to this population the seriousness, the gravity of the situation? Did they seem to understand what was at stake?
Absolutely not. Brian Gary and I were down at the public library in Cincinnati on March 12th. You know, most of the general public already knew about COVID-19 since maybe, you know, January, February. We were watching it very closely as it was affecting China and moving through Asia and Europe. So when we went down and started talking about COVID-19, we found that zero knew what was going on with this pandemic. We had to explain to them about social distancing and not hugging and shaking hands and trying to stay safe. And that's when we all got together and decided, hey, we need to take action and we need to do it now.
Brian Gary is a board member at Maslow's Army and joins us on Zoom. Brian, share a little bit of that experience with us on how you work to express to people experiencing homelessness just how serious this situation was and still is.
We had to literally demonstrate what social distancing means, how not to come in contact with individuals. You know, we have acquired hygiene kits and passed those out and showed them about, you know, the rubbing of the hands and how to actually sanitize properly, being, you know, out on the streets, which is very difficult because, as you can imagine, there aren't very many public bathrooms. And even at this time, The library is only allowing individuals in there for about an hour, and then they have to vacate the library. So it's very difficult to achieve proper hygiene out on the streets, and it's very important for them to realize and understand the importance, because when you can't see the virus, you know, some people just don't understand the gravity. So it's sort of reinforcement again and again of social distancing, of 6 feet rules. We even had shirts that talked about social distancing as well.
So, Brian, when we talk about Maslow's army, we're not necessarily talking about a legion of forces here. This is a small operation. How did you go about coordinating the placement of people experiencing homelessness in some local hotels? That must have been quite an undertaking.
It really was. So, you know, we understood that a person without a home cannot abide by the stay-at-home order. So initially, we immediately, you know, our thought was a close by in an inexpensive hotel, which we found in the Quality Inn downtown. But at some point that became, we had a better deal across the river and some other hotels in the area. So we moved people. But initially we were in the Quality Inn. And yeah, the logistics, you know, it's very difficult. Hotels aren't used to this, but the Microtel, in fact, in Florence, Kentucky, and about four or five other hotels became very accommodating because they understood the need of the situation. Because what we found is that suddenly people were very interested in housing the homeless, so to speak, because we, in fact, the general public, we are only as safe and protected as the least safe and protected individual among us. So we're not only protecting those experiencing homelessness, but the general public as well.
And Samuel Landis is the executive director and founder of Maslow's Army. Samuel, this didn't always go smoothly. There was some resistance as it came from some municipalities, health organization in Northern Kentucky, I know of for sure, when you were placing folks in hotels there. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We did get a little bit of resistance in Florence, Kentucky. I think that the fear was is that we would just open the door and let people go after the stay-at-home order was done, and then you would just have this overwhelming population of people experiencing homelessness from both Greater Cincinnati, well, the tri-state area, Indiana as well, and Kentucky, all being in this little city. What they failed to realize is that we provided the transportation there. Each person was to get 2 weeks at the hotel initially. And at one time, we had 76 rooms going. So we also provided three meals a day. And we did basic health screenings. So we did temperature checks. We asked basic questions. We did health screenings. And we had a closed room where the community came in and they donated socks, T-shirt, underwear, clothes, shoes, diapers, formula, all these things that they would need in a closing room so that when we took individuals in, they would end up with a couple outfits or something that were clean while they, you know, would shower and stuff. But yes, we did get a little bit of opposition from Florence at first until I spoke to the city manager there and clarified that once this, you know, gets resolved, that we will be escorting the people from Hamilton County back to Hamilton County. And that's when we opened up our third hotel, and that was in the Sharonville area, which the mayor of Sharonville welcomed our families and our citizens with open arms, and it was very public. So we were very grateful to the mayor of Sharonville for, you know, accommodating us and our needs.
You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're joined by Maslow's Army founder and executive director Samuel Landis and board member Brian Gary. They join us via Zoom. We're also joined on the phone line by a couple of people who have been assisted by this organization, Eddie Willoughby and Shai Broadwater. Shai, can you share with us a little bit about the situation that you faced?
Well, we were already here at the hotel when we were made aware of Sam and Maslow's Army. We were literally on our last week of being able to afford staying here, and the housekeeper Sam and his organization, and so then it took off from there. We met with him, and he told us a little bit of like his background, And we told him our circumstances and really what we were unfortunately going through. And since that very day, like he's been here for us, and Maslow's Army has been here for us, and like it's been a true blessing. Like I can't express it.
Shai, can you tell us to whom you refer to when you say we?
My family. I have 4 kids and a fiance.
And all of you were living in a hotel room at the time?
Yes.
So when you were also facing economic strife, you said that you were on your last week of being able to afford to stay in the hotel that you were in, which I'm making an assumption here that you opted to go into a hotel because you didn't have another alternative for housing.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
And then this pandemic, of course, comes along.
Yeah.
So as you were facing possibly being out on the streets in the face of this pandemic, can you share a little bit about what all of your concerns were?
Well, the way the coronavirus was, the news, and she's 9 months now. At the time, like she was 3 months old. So she was barely new. Like she was newborn, and that was a huge concern that we were going to be out on the streets, and that would be the biggest issue on top of what our next step was going to be, because staying here. We've been at the hotel prior to meeting Sam for about 6 months before, and so it took all of our money. So the last week being on our last few dollars, we didn't have a plan B. There wasn't any other route. So Sam, in speaking with him,
Well, Shai, there may be people listening who are thinking you've hit a hard time and you opted to move with your family into a hotel. Why was that the choice? Why was that the choice you had to make instead of seeking more traditional housing you said 6 months?
Mm-hmm. Well, because of our rental history being, we were late payers. So that alone was, it was our holdback from being able to find other places to rent or just obtain sustainable housing. And so getting a hotel was literally our only option, and then so the funds ran dry, and then we were at a standstill. And having the 4 kids, it was very scary. And I don't know,
Well, were there no shelters available either?
I don't know much resources as far as that goes. I know there are a couple in Covington, but a lot of the time they separate the families, and that's not anything we could do. And we just, this isn't, we've never gone through needing any, assistance really, so it was all anew, and just, with the homeless shelters, I have 3 girls. And so I just didn't feel that was our best option. So we just, like a Band-Aid, went to a hotel and just took off from there.
That's Shai Broadwater sharing her story with us as she was assisted by Maslow's Army to stay housed during the COVID-19 pandemic. We're also joined on the line by someone else who was assisted by this organization, Eddie Willoughby. Eddie, would you share a little bit about your story, the situation that you faced as all this broke out?
Well, yeah,
I was already at the hotel. So as the day goes by, we paying up for like, I'd say probably about a month. And then I had met Sam. I was basically, we were down because I'm at the hotel and I had my two kids. I got an 8-month-old and a 2-year-old. And my baby mom, she was the only one working. She was basically carrying all the weight. I couldn't get no job because I had to stay at the house or the hotel with the kids. So I met Sam. Sam showed me a whole different way. He just started helping me.
What was the different way?
Like showing me how to stop drinking, stuff like that. Just a whole lot of stuff.
We're talking about your housing situation, Eddie, from an economic perspective, but also in the shadow of this devastating COVID-19 pandemic. And as you were facing what sounds like your own challenges, both personal and for your family, you've got this worldwide crisis breaking out as well. Can you share a little bit about what your thoughts were when you saw this looming and possibly not being able to take care of your family during this as well?
I really can't say because I really didn't know what to do. I was just out there, just sitting outside, and I met Sam, and I had little tears in my eyes. I'm asking, telling him what's going on, and so he just started helping me. For what reason, I don't know. So I thank him for that. It's a blessing that Sam just start this and helping me. I don't know what really was going on, but he just told me what was going on, how they were doing the stuff. And I told him what was going on with my problem, and we needed help.
Eddie, can you tell me how your life is different now compared to when you first met Sam?
It's a whole lot. It's a whole lot better now because we're in our place, and Sam been helping us get furniture and stuff to put in our house. It's a blessing.
So you have your own house now?
Yeah, we got our own apartment now.
And I imagine that's quite an upgrade from the hotel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, we're glad to hear
that. It's a blessing for Sam. I'm not going to lie to you. By me talking about it, wanted me to bring tears to my eyes, but I was trying to hold it in, but it's a blessing for them. Not going to lie to you.
We're talking with Eddie Willoughby and Shai Broadwater, both helped by Maslow's Army. They're joining us on the phone. We're joined on Zoom by the founder and executive director of Maslow's Army, Sam Landis, and board member Brian Gary. Sam, we've just heard these stories from a couple of people whose families were experiencing homelessness. And I know when we talk about the issue of homelessness in our community that certain images may come to people's minds about what that means, what the people may engage in behavior-wise or appearance. But we're talking to people who are families with very young children. Can you talk a little bit about that, that maybe we don't have the right idea when we're talking about homelessness in Greater Cincinnati?
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. I want to touch on something real quick. So 2 years ago for my anniversary with my wife, she got me an ancestry kit, right? A DNA kit. And I matched with my biological father and some siblings and stuff. And I found out just about a month ago that for the first 6 months of my life, I was living with my mother in the back of a car, homeless. And it's ironic, you know, that my life's purpose, you know, when I wake up is to try to assist individuals and families and seniors and veterans and people that are disabled off the street and to help them, give them the instruments that it takes to become healthy and productive members of society. So I was actually experiencing homelessness myself for over 20 years in the greater Cincinnati area. So this is my heart and this is my passion to let other people know that they too can make it off the street if given the tools and the instruments to succeed, you know, and that starts with food, clothing, water, shelter, it, you know, security, positive relationships, self-esteem, and self-awareness. So we're named after Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and it's been very successful. multiple families. You're just speaking to a couple of many, many, many families that have gotten permanent housing because we are a hand up, not a handout, and we are not a band-aid. So, you know, people that come to us, we require them. We have a case plan. We require them to take some action. And we have had a lot of success because of this. And it's very humbling to be part of this process. Just to be, for me, I just feel that I'm just a small instrument of something that's much bigger. You know, Brian Gary has been my